Nominations. Some already confirmed: a new education plan, a new tax cut plan. President Bush, who was inaugurated just a week ago today, does not seem to be waiting for things to happen. Our Dan Shore spoke with the dynamic duo, Thomas Mann, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Norm Ornstein of the American Enterprise Institute, about the new president's first few days.
So, a momentous first week for President Bush. Norman, how did he do?
He had a good first week. I mean, it's kind of funny to assess things after about 1/20th of the first 100 days, but it's important. How you start establishes, in some sense, for a new president, the kind of image, and the image was a good one. It was an image of a conciliator. Maybe the most significant element was Ted Kennedy appearing in front of the White House saying, "We can do business with this man on education."
Tom, how do you see it?
It was a good week, but it wasn't a great week in view of the fact that this is coming after a very extraordinary election. There's still a lot of bitterness out there in the country. And what I've been struck by is that President Bush is saying the right things, and his meetings with congressional leaders, all of it sounds good, but no acknowledgement yet of the extraordinary circumstances. He's decided to tough it out, to assert his authority, and maybe it'll work, and maybe it won't.
Well, as you suggest, Norman, this is simply 1 week out of the first 100 days, but during that week, a great thing happened to him. Alan Greenspan, the chief of the Federal Reserve, a dramatic turnabout, having previously said that he didn't think it was a good idea to reduce taxes, now he said it's a good idea to reduce taxes. Can you explain that?
Well, Greenspan had a rationale, and remember, his language was more carefully couched than the reports, but it basically is, we do have a slow economy now. We have a combination of an economy that's slowed with projections of surpluses even greater than we had before. For a lot of reasons, he said, we can't afford to eliminate the debt entirely. Mm-hmm. Technically, we've got to have some debt out there or we'll pay a price for it. So the combination of the desirability of having a little stimulus now on the fiscal side with the need to slow down debt repayment a little bit gave him a different rationale, whatever the rationale. To have Greenspan give him a benediction on a tax cut, while at the same time, Democrat Zell Miller introduces the full Bush tax cut, to have any Democrat do so undercuts to a degree the Democrats' united stance on tax cuts, and it gives him more leverage when a negotiation ultimately occurs.
Does that mean, Tom, somewhere in September, October, there will be the tax cut on an order of what the president has talked about, $1 trillion plus three plus six?
It could happen. The full cost of that over a full 10-year period after it's enacted is closer to $2 trillion. And if eventually it has to be part of a larger budget package that includes spending provisions and treatment of Medicare surpluses and the like, you may see some of the pressures against that full tax cut return. Nonetheless, Norman's right. Greenspan's words were an enormous boost to the effort, but I was struck by the fact that hours after his testimony, the Blue Dogs, the conservative Democrats, issued a statement pointing to all of Greenspan's qualifications and reiterating their desire to not risk returning to an era of deficits.
You know, if I had to guess, Dan, before this week, we would have imagined there would be a tax cut ultimately in the range of $600 to $700 billion, about half of what Bush had asked for. Greenspan's words probably meant another couple hundred billion dollars in the end. It'll probably end up more like $800 to $900 billion. So he's gained something more from this for what ultimately will be a tax cut. It'll be a different one than he's asked for. It'll be pushed more towards early enactment, front-loaded, opposed to back-loaded. But to have that happen along with the good words about education is a very good way for him to start.
So it comes out in his first week with taxes and with education. And until recently, the Democrats seemed to be not taking him quite seriously personally. Do you think they underestimated him?
I think they did. I think they saw him as a lightweight and a figurehead, and Dick Cheney was running the show, and I think that greatly underestimates President Bush. On the other hand, I think there is a risk for the Bush administration in overestimating the willingness of the Democratic Party and the country to fall in line with the entire agenda. And the real question is, at what point does President Bush show his well-reputed capacity for compromise?
Do you think, Norman, that the Democrats may be now reviewing their strategy?
Well, there's no question they're reviewing their strategy. And in fact, they were stunned a little bit, I think, by what Zell Miller did. They hope to maintain a united front with the numbers that they have, down by only 5 votes out of 435 in the House, with a tie in the Senate. The more they are unified, the more leverage they have for negotiating with Bush. What remains to be seen, though, Dan, is he's trying to balance and juggle a couple of things. What we also saw this week was the first step he took, an executive order reversing Clinton on family planning,
yes.
International family planning. He's making gestures to his base, the bedrock right, even as he's trying to reach out to the Ted Kennedys and Henry Waxmans of the world. Now, if he can do both of those things simultaneously and make it work, he will end up as an extraordinarily effective president.
And if he wins on that other gesture to the right, the confirmation of Ashcroft as Attorney General.
That may be a Pyrrhic victory. I think what Democrats are trying to do now is set the stage for a battle over court appointments. And I have a feeling they will get their 41 votes for the shot across the bow. Because, of course, 41 votes would mean Democrats are sending the signal that they can filibuster court appointments if those nominees are not genuine moderates.
Because you need 60 votes to break a filibuster.
Indeed.
So you think that there's a sense of sweetness and light this week for the most part, and the sense of we're going to talk about education, we'll find common ground here and there. Do you think that may be misleading, that the real fight is still being saved up?
No question the real fights are ahead. Remember when President Clinton started, he stumbled on the gaze of the military issue. He recovered, but it took him a while. It's much better, especially if you have a disputed election and you aren't well known, to start with some smooth strides. But the rough times are ahead, Tom is right.
You agree?
Yes, indeed. This is the very, very beginning of what is going to be a very contentious presidency.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Norman. We'll be back with both of you, I hope, for 100 days. This is Daniel Schorr.